Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We've got some noise on the line. Hold on a second. Hold on, Dr. Jeff. I'm going to try something here. Just sit tight. Okay, here we go. We have a little snafu. We're going to try a disconnect, reconnect, and see if that fixes the problem. Any better? Oh, yes. Isn't that wonderful?
Hello,
yes. Technology, yes. Oh, now you see, the technology screwed everything up for me because I need to play your music before you start talking. So you got to act like you're not there, okay?
Okay.
All right. So welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got a great show planned for you today. We've got lots of exciting things to talk about. During the first half hour, science for humans, the largest, most sophisticated vitamin in the world. We're going to be talking about that. Then we're going to be talking about the International Regulation of Health and Nutrition Claims as a group trying to get everybody, all nations, on the same page. And we're going to be talking to Ali DeBoer about that. And then at the top of the second hour, this is something you never see, a science rewind. We have a group that went back to their original data set and found completely different results from a study that they published years ago to now when they looked at total protein intake and how it affects body composition. And on that note,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Can you believe that, Dr. Jeff? These scientists went back to their original study and they looked at it again and came up with different results.
You know, that's pretty amazing, first of all, that they would be honest enough to go back and do that.
Exactly. I mean, I applaud them. I'm not. There's people out there going, oh, you know, what happened? You know, forget that. How many times have you seen scientists go back and review their original work and go, you know, maybe we missed something?
Well, exactly. And, you know, how you did things 10, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, I mean, technology, things are changing. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that later. But with you, we're going to be talking about the largest, most sophisticated vitamin in the world. What is it, Dr. Jeff?
That is vitamin B12, and it's kind of the last B vitamin in the series that we've been doing, and this is probably the one that most people have heard about or are more aware of.
So I put a picture of it up on the Facebook posting today. It looks like a spider's nest. It's amazing. It's got so many different branches and molecules, and it's just amazing. It really is. It's the largest, most sophisticated vitamin in the world. That's amazing to me.
It is, you know, and in a nutshell, you know, like all the other eight Bs, it is water soluble, and it plays a key role in the normal functioning of brain and nervous system and the formation of blood. I mean, this is really an important one. It's also involved in the metabolism of every cell of the human body. Every cell, especially affecting DNA synthesis, regulating fatty acid metabolism and amino acid metabolism. I mean, how about that for adding some initials after its name? Huh?
Yeah, I mean it's a very important vitamin. Now, it's one of the vitamins that we not only get from our diet, but is also made from bacteria in the gut. You've talked about certain B vitamins that are manufactured in the body. B12 is another one, right?
Correct. Yep. I mean, that's how important it is. You know, when your body has to manufacture things, you know, this is pretty important. And when you look in nature, you know, it probably is one of the most abundant vitamins that is readily available through our food sources.
And what that tells you is it influenced our evolutionary development. If it's found in almost every food source that we consume. Now, adequate amounts we'll talk about later, and trace amounts, obviously. But if it's found everywhere, and we've even gone as far as to start to manufacture it ourselves, it tells us that it has been a cornerstone of our development. Would you agree with that?
I would, you know, and I found it really interesting, you know, as we research, you know, these sources, thinking, wow, I mean, you know, this stuff is available in nature, you know, and these are all our food sources. You know, nothing is a new food source. It's a source that's been around for, you know, hundreds of
millennia,
thousands of years.
Right.
But that tells you, like I said, how important it is.
What about deficiencies? So a lot of the B vitamins have very frank side effects or effects when you're deficient in them. Is B12 one of those?
It is, you know, and a lot of the B vitamins are kind of overlapping. You know, a lot of symptoms that people have, you know, could be a B12, could be a B1. But the ones that are really important for B12, some of them are pretty serious. But one of the ones that's common, and again, you know, we talked about this. I hear this all the time from people. But it's just that strange sensation, you know, a numbness or tingling that you get in your hands and legs or feet. You know, a lot of people go, oh, my leg's asleep. But, you know, I hear people all the time, they just wake up and they've got this tingling. Well, that's a B12 deficiency. You know, you wouldn't think that a vitamin would cause that, but absolutely, you know,
well,
it is.
And I want to make some others, because right now people are saying, yeah, but I take a lot of B12 and I still have some of those symptoms. We're going to talk about this, because just because you take B12 doesn't mean that it's being metabolized and used by the body. There are several disorders. Quite frankly, well over 30% of the population today, and possibly more, is not metabolizing B12 properly when they eat it in a diet. But okay. So,
absolutely. And when we talk about the causes of the deficiency, you know, it's pretty interesting. But, you know, another thing that a lot of folks have some difficulty walking, you know, their balance is off, you know, and I've never heard a doctor go, oh, you know what, you might have a B12 deficiency. You know, it's always something else. You know, this is probably more common, you know, when you're diagnosed with anemia, they normally will give you a B12. For that.
Right.
Swollen, inflamed tongue, I haven't really heard a lot of that or seen that, but that is one. Jaundice.
Really?
Yes. People who have zero B12 in their diet, jaundice could also be a cause of that deficiency. So it's not always, you know, a liver damage situation.
Right.
Difficulties thinking. Have you ever just been in the afternoon where, you know, somebody goes, hey, do you remember that songwriter? What was his name? And you just can't think. I mean, that whole cognitive memory loss, that's a B12 deficiency. And then things like, you know, paranoia, you know, hallucinations and things, that also could be caused by B12. But then, you know, the ones that, again, are a little more common, weakness and fatigue. You know, B12 has been known to help out with, you know, being weak or being fatigued. You know, right. A lot of doctors will prescribe, you know, B12 shots, you know, if they really think you need to get a lot in your system right away.
Right.
But those are kind of the basic symptoms, which, you know, things like tingling and, you know, being fatigued. You know, what do most people do when they're fatigued, Carl?
Caffeine, baby, caffeine.
You know, oh, I need more caffeine. That's the reason. Well, sure, caffeine fixes the immediate need, but you got to look at what is actually causing that. You know, I like feeling good all day long, not just for an hour and a half, you know.
Right, right. Or for 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's something else that B12 plays a big role in that's not as apparent, and that is DNA synthesis. And
yes.
When we talk about genetic mutations and we talk about ribonucleic acid and diribonucleic, this is a very important vitamin from a mutation standpoint as well. Mothers who give birth to children while they're B12 deficient, they end up with babies that have deformities. So it also plays roles in things that you may not be able to see on the surface or feel, but are actually going on below the surface.
Well, and that's a good point you brought up about mothers. You know, a lot of times, oh, you know, some of these prenatals that, you know, a doctor will just say, go get a prenatal. And, you know, not all prenatals are made the same. Some of them are pretty bad. I mean, I have seen mothers shopping, Carl, at the dollar store for a prenatal vitamin.
Yeah, right? I know,
but,
right?
Oh, yeah, your baby, you know, if you don't get enough B12 in your diet while you're pregnant, your baby could be deficient. And like you said, you know, I mean, that does affect the whole DNA synthesis. And a lot of times, you know, they want you to get on folic acid because folic acid has been proven to decrease birth defects. But, you know, when you start messing with your DNA, you know, important.
Now, let's talk about food sources of B12, because then I want to talk about even though you're getting enough B12, it's good to follow the food sources to talk about that, the deficiency issue.
Yeah, because, you know, again, you know, we're going to talk more. But, you know, the food sources, the first one is your shellfish with things like clams, mussels containing a lot, oysters. Matter of fact, oysters contain 408% just in 3 ounces of the percent daily value. Now, remember, wow, the percent DV is for a 2,000-calorie diet, which really means absolutely nothing other than a number.
Right.
Sorry if you invented that. Beef liver, most all livers, you know, foie gras, chicken livers are high. More of the fatty fishes like mackerel, salmon, herring, but even, you know, tuna, trout contain good amount. Your crustaceans, your crab, shrimp. So I was happy to see that because a lot of people think that, you know, those type of things don't have much nutrition value. But
right,
hey, they're high in B12. And then my favorite, red meat.
Yes. Yes.
We had good beef last night.
Bloody, bloody meat. There's B12 in blood. That's why.
See, absolutely. And then your dairy, you know, your milks. So anything made
yogurt,
from
yogurt, cheese.
Yep. And then eggs, you know. Egg yolks, and it doesn't matter where the egg, whether it's chicken, turkey, quail, they're all high in B12. So for the most part, if you are, I want to talk about if you're not a vegan or a vegetarian, most people get a pretty good amount of B12 from their food sources. But what you have to be careful, you know, if you are vegan or vegetarian, you know, and you don't eat any of these type of sources, you know, you have to supplement, because if you noticed, there weren't nuts and grains on the list.
Right, right.
Now, there probably are some minute amounts, but not enough, you know. So, again, you have to be careful, you know, with your diets, with your food choices, that you have to look at what these things contain.
Vegan diets tend to be the most deficient in some of the most important micronutrients available to us, and we are completely mismatched for the vegan diet. Interesting post I made this morning, real quick, but you can tell by the eyes of a species whether it was a predator or prey, and what speaks to being an omnivore as humans. Animals and species that didn't live on the ground, they didn't slither on their bellies, they stood up somehow on legs. Animals that didn't live on the ground, that have round pupils and eyes set close together, were predators. And animals that had horizontal pupils and eyes set far apart were prey. And that's from 4.6 million years of evolution. So we were designed to eat meat and animal protein. You may not choose to because of religious reasons or something like that, spiritual reasons, but the vegan diet is completely inappropriate for human beings, and it will leave you with illnesses. I'm sorry. You'll be deficient in a lot of different, very, very important vitamins and micronutrients. Would you think I'm being too heavy-handed by saying that, Dr. Jeff?
No, you know, I agree. And again, you know, we're not trying to say that if you're a vegan that you're doing anything wrong. I applaud, you know, everyone who makes a choice. What we're trying to say is you got to look at science, which
right,
is what
right.
this show is about, and those diets are deficient in a lot of vitamins and minerals. So I always recommend you get a nutrition almanac is what I always look to because I have those hard copies. But don't just look at fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. Continue down. Look at to see how much, you know, vitamin A, vitamin C, you know, Bs are in those foods that you eat. And if you see a consistency where, for instance, B12 is missing from your diet, not maybe, but you will be deficient. So you are going to need to add that in from a supplement realm.
Yes, and that's why it's important to supplement. If you want to adhere to a diet that limits your intake of these very, very important vitamins, then you need to supplement. It's your responsibility. You can continue to eat the way you believe you should eat as long as you are getting supplements somewhere. Let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's come back and talk about people who are getting enough B12 in their diet but still seem to be deficient. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, stay tuned. You're listening to Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini. We'll be right back. How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now. You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds, and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid, and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to Superhuman Radio. Today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Science for Humans with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini. We're talking about vitamin B12. It's a very, very important vitamin. We talked about the types of diets that may be deficient. We talked about the foods that it's present in. But some people are eating the foods, maybe even supplementing from time to time. They still seem to be deficient. Let's talk about that, Dr. Jeff.
Yeah, you know, and there are several things that cause deficiency, even though you are eating. One is heavy drinking of alcohol.
Bingo.
This one is a very interesting one, is long-term use of anti-acid, you know, acid-reducing drugs.
Yes.
You got to remember that, you know, the stomach acid is important. I mean, it helps to break down the proteins that contain that B12. So you might be supplementing and eating enough, but if you are a long-time user of those type of things, you will be deficient.
In fact, the stomach must be on the acidic side. The number needs to be lower when it's acidic. I always get that backwards. But
yes,
it needs to be in the lower pH side in order for B12 to be absorbed. If you take vitamin B12 and drink it down with something that has a blunting effect on stomach acid, it's not going to be absorbed as well.
No, and I think people get confused, you know, when we talk about alkalizing our system, thinking that, you know, you have to alkalize your stomach, you know, 24/7, and that's a misconception. You know, it has nothing
right
to do with the stomach. That acid is important because that's how you break down nutrients that can be absorbed. If not, they're going to go out. The other thing that we kind of led into, it all has to do with absorption. So things like any condition, you know, we've been talking about gluten, things that lead to Crohn's disease, celiac disease, you know, bacterial growth, parasites, anything that affects the absorption is what is going to cause you to be B12 deficient.
And this is important. I want to belabor this just for a second.
Yes.
Everybody is taking the little purple pill. Everybody's going, oh, you know, my food doesn't like me, so I got to take this pill so I can eat this stuff. There are people going around with distended stomachs. There are people on major TV shows investigating, do you get bloated after a small meal? Are you bloated when you... The stomach problems are rampant in America today. I don't know about abroad, but in the United States, I would easily estimate that probably 30 to 50% of the population have digestive issues that range anywhere from things like thinning of the stomach lining to loss of appropriate microbes in the stomach. Remember, it takes the bacteria to help make the B12 ready for the body. It has to be converted a couple different times. So those of you out there who find yourselves taking Nexium and pills like that, just assume you're B12 deficient because you're not absorbing it properly.
Well, and not only B12, but if you can't absorb that, you're not absorbing any of your nutrients.
Yes.
I know
yeah.
a lot of guys that, you know, claim to be slow growers, and you find that they are on these acid reduction pills. I mean,
right.
they can't absorb protein, carbs, fats. You know, and then, of course, over a long time, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong, but would it be better to just not eat that food?
Yes.
I mean, you know, and we're not talking about taking an occasional Tums, you know, which is nothing more than calcium carbonate. We're talking about the actual prescription drugs or the over-the-counter drugs. But as you continue to tear up that stomach, and I was one, you know, I thought it was gluten, but I found out it was really more of a digestive issue where my stomach was like I was pregnant every morning.
Yes.
You know, and by cutting out that gluten and adding some good bacteria, I'm finding that I'm able to grow better in the gym, and I haven't changed my diet at all. But my proteins, my vitamins, things are being absorbed. I mean, I'm feeling better, Carl, every single day, you know, getting that digestive tract back in line.
Yeah, and a lot of people suffer from this, and B12 is just one of the things. The other thing is aging. When you hit 50 and older, you don't digest foods as well. So pick up a good digestive enzyme and take it with each meal. Don't feel bad about it. You'll absorb more of your nutrients, and you'll absorb more of the B12 from the food you're eating.
Absolutely. And again, you know, buy any of these things from a quality, reputable, you know, health food store. Just because it's at the dollar store.
Yeah.
And it's dollar. Matter of fact, my marketing gal the other day said, here, I bought a couple things from the dollar store. I wanted you to test them. It was like a vitamin C, vitamin E. And I said, you know what? I'm not even going to waste my time.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a dollar, tells you what it's about.
If you're buying vitamins at a dollar store, then you don't even need to buy vitamins, because that just goes to show what your real intention is about their usefulness.
Yep. So talking about supplementing with B12, you know, again, I'm a firm believer that you got to be careful with just taking a whole bunch of B12 mm-hmm. and nothing else, because you elevate one thing, you could be deficient in another thing. I always kind of call it the shotgun theory, which doesn't sound very good, but I don't know a better way of describing it. But I like to make sure that I get all of the vitamins together in a multi, because more than likely on any given day of the week, I'm going to be deficient in something, and I don't have time, and neither do you, to be testing your blood, you know, four times a day to find out today what I'm deficient, because by the time you test it, the day's over and you probably have filled that deficiency. So I like taking a good multivitamin.
I know the best vitamin B supplement in the world.
You do? What is it, Carl?
It's called VitaDrive.
Yes. And I'm passionate about it, you know, and that's why I'm going to throw this offer out. I'm not going to beg you to buy it. I want you to use it. And even if you don't use VitaDrive, I want you to use a high quality multivitamin that you buy from a reputable health store. But I'm passionate about the one that I make. It's been the exact same formula for close to 30 years. So it kind of tells you that a whole lot of basics haven't changed.
Right.
Hey, we're going to make a couple changes because there's some new things, new technologies is coming into place. But I want you to get on a B vitamin. So Carl, I got 48 bottles here again. That if you really haven't used anything, and you haven't gotten one of the other offers, I'd like to give you a bottle because I want you to see how much better you're going to feel taking a multivitamin, whether you use VitaDrive or something else. I'm going to give it to you for free so that you understand the importance of this.
So how do people get it? They go to superhumanradio.com, and down on the bottom right-hand side of the homepage, you'll see the banner ad with Dr. Jeff's picture on it. It says, Ask the Scientist. Click that banner ad and ask Dr. Jeff for a free bottle of VitaDrive. And please, people are getting better about this, but yes, we still get the occasional person who says, hey, send me that. And you forget to put your mailing address in. So please put your mailing address in so somebody doesn't have to email you back and ask for it. First 48 people get a free bottle of VitaDrive. I take VitaDrive twice a day because B vitamins are water soluble. So I figure, let me take them twice a day so there's high levels of them throughout the day for me. I love VitaDrive. And you, when you see the bottle and you see the capsules, you will be looking at, and you undeniably agree with me, a high-quality manufactured supplement, not something that somebody has a capping machine and they're throwing powder in it and they're putting it in bottles and putting a fancy label on it. You can feel and see the quality of the products made by All American Pharmaceuticals before you even use them. And when you use them, you realize this really has what it says it has and doesn't have anything else in it but what it says it has.
You'll feel better the very next day. Now, if you're listening to this on the podcast, don't think, well, you know, they probably got rid of the first 48 bottles in 2 minutes. Most people think that. Go ahead and take the time to send an email. I always will let you know that if you're within that realm. And if we happen to use them up and you still email me, I'll send you some free gift of something that I have, some samples, just to try. Again, more or less of saying thank you for listening to the shows. And keep those questions coming. I really appreciate them, and hopefully I'm answering all your questions. But that's what this is about. Is about sharing the knowledge that we've learned over the years and asking your questions. It's completely free. So don't feel obligated, or feel embarrassed. There is no such thing as a bad question unless you don't ask it.
There you go. Thanks for rocking Superhuman Radio today, Dr. Jeff.
Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
See you later. All right. We're going to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the realities and possibilities of a harmonized nutrition and health claims approach to foods somehow in the future on an international level. Could it happen? Not if Monsanto doesn't want it to happen. Stay tuned. How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
There are few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to primal-d.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I'm a business owner. I'm in a high-stress situation. I'm also a CrossFit athlete. I'm constantly active. I need something that protects me for 24 hours and beyond. I've tried every natural deodorant out there. There is nothing that compares to this deodorant.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Every country has its own standards for food labeling and also nutritional and health claims. My next guest is Ali DeBoer. How you doing, Ali?
Great. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good, good. And she's here to talk to us about the possibility of a harmonization, an international standard for making these types of nutritional health claims. Why did you do this study, Allie? What this seems like a huge undertaking.
I can assure you it was actually. Yeah. Well, we started with doing this research actually from the starting point of my PhD research, and in which I started to study the European Nutrition and Health Claims Regulation, which entered into force in 2006. And we started studying the implementation of this regulation. And when we were talking to all these different stakeholders working with this European regulation, we realized that a lot of people started referring to other health claim regulations, and then mainly the situation in the U.S., so the system that was implemented by the FDA about nutrition and health claims. And then we realized, well, why do people actually refer to that system, and why is there then any difference? And then we saw a report of the World Health Organization about nutrition and health claims in 2004, and we realized a lot of things must have changed. So we started from there, and we looked into 28 jurisdictions to compare what was going on, actually.
You know, I have a feeling that while I am very, very tough on the FDA on this show and have been for 10 years now, I would imagine that our health claims to a greater degree are probably more governed. There's more oversight provided. But when you said that other countries look to the FDA, I cringed because I don't like the FDA. I don't like what they do, and I don't trust them. And I don't think they do a good job, quite frankly, because I feel like they're so influenced, as the term you use, stakeholders. You know, they're so influenced by big industry. Now, I'm sure you know what's going on here about genetically modified food labeling, right?
Well, I'm not fully familiar with that.
Okay, so
we
want the right to have food labels that have foods that have genetically modified foods in them labeled as such. Because we feel like, look, there are people out there who may or may not want to eat genetically modified foods. They should have the right to discern. And the FDA has no power in it because big corporations have overridden America's rights to know what's in their foods now. So, okay, let's get back on track. So what did you, when you looked at what the World Health Organization was doing, was it similar? Did they look to the FDA and say, yeah, this is a good model? Or did they say, no, that's not a good model, and here's why?
Well, if you look to the WHO report on that global regulatory environment, they don't say what system is good or bad. They just review it, and that's actually what we've done as well. And we looked from different perspectives, like from the consumer perspective, but also from the industry perspective. And thereby, we try to assess what would be kind of best from the scientific perspective. If you look purely into what is going on in your body and what could specific substances do in your body. So we try to combine all those approaches in this study without saying, well, that's the best or that's the worst system. If you also look into this regulatory environment, you see that that consumers do not always believe in what's going on, and especially when some things are not checked, like some claims are not pre-approved before a product is marketed. And you see that there is a difference between these jurisdictions, that, for example, in Europe, every health claim, every nutrition claim that is made has actually is actually checked by the European Food Safety Authority.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem with all this, right? This all sounds great, right? But we have the same thing here with the FDA. Before a health claim can be made, it has to be checked. But you got to look at who's making these standards.
Yeah.
So, like we have a fat is bad. Now today, fat is good. Science is wrong often. In fact, I have my guest on the second hour. It went back to his data set all these years later and extrapolated different information that shows different findings from his original study. So we look at science and we go, okay, tell us what is healthy. And that changes from generation to generation because we get it wrong often. We get it wrong.
Yeah, we do get it wrong. And that's very underlying but very prominent question to answer. What is even health? You know, in what situation are we? You know, that's a very big problem. What we realized when doing this study and also other studies on these nutrition and health claims, because when we say that something is healthy, we first have to find a way to test it. And especially what you see is going on, that something is tested like only in cells before, and then suddenly we extrapolate it to human system while it's not even that far yet. And that's the, I think, importance of having legislation upon nutrition and health claims, that we at least try to make sure that stuff like that is not happening, that we cannot say something is healthy based on, like, what we see in cells.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
That's not the way how food works.
I agree. And or flawed science.
Yeah.
You know, we have had an aversion to cholesterol here because of Dr. Ansel Keys. Now we're finding out he was wrong. And all these people out there are buying foods that have no cholesterol in them, thinking that they're healthy. And now we're finding out that's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's a very difficult process that you're trying to, I feel like you're working with a multi-headed hydra. You know, you're trying, how do you get it all to be one thing? Maybe what will happen is you will eliminate a lot of the nonsense and only have a handful of standards as a result of this, because all the other stuff is driven by special interest groups and stakeholders, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think such a regulatory process is always very much influenced, of course, by different stakeholders, by all these pressure groups from all parties. And I think the hopefully the common ground is found, and what you see is that there's at least there are efforts from the Codex Alimentarius Committee. There were guidelines provided about how you should at least define these different types of claims, because we talk now about nutrition claims and health claims, but you can subdivide them, and then you see that different jurisdictions have kind of different, somehow differently define these types of claims. But also you see that some jurisdictions don't allow specific claims to be made, like that it could happen that here, for example, in Russia, it's not allowed to make a disease risk reduction claim, while we are here in Europe allowed to see a claim upon that something reduces your risk on cardiovascular diseases, for example. So there you get some different information when you live in a different country, and that's what the Codex Alimentarius Committee tries, at least it tries to do, like have a uniform definition and also say, okay, what standards should you then actually try to pursue for these different claims?
I want to talk about Codex when we come back. I want to stay with this. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We're talking with Ali DeBoer. She's written a paper. She and a colleague have written a paper examining the possibility of a harmonized international nutritional and health claims being applied to foods. But there's a lot of big companies out there. Monsanto comes to mind. They don't want people taking their piece of the pie away. And this is a tough one to tackle. We'll be right back.
Drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid, and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you You can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training, won't disrupt endocrine function, and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I'm a business owner. I'm in a high-stress situation. I'm also a CrossFit athlete. I'm constantly active and need something that protects me for 24 hours and beyond. I've tried every natural deodorant out there. There is nothing that compares to this deodorant.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Ali DeBoer. We're talking about the possibility of an international legislation on nutrition and health claims. Very interesting. I mean, it sounds great because I almost feel like the United States would benefit from this because other countries don't seem to be as corrupted by special interest groups and stakeholders as we are. That's why I think it won't work. I don't think that the United States will give up their little fiefdom to be part of this international community. But talk to me about Codex, Ali. How do you feel about Codex? You think they're a good thing, a bad thing?
Well, I think from a harmonization perspective, that it would be that they're making good efforts to try and harmonize the types of claims that we see. If I focus on claims then for this part, about at the Codex Committee, and you see that they try to make a good standard to make new legislation upon that, people who are developing new legislation, can follow and try, to make sure that it's getting more and more harmonized throughout the world.
But now the opponents of Codex say that they restrict the access of simple things, like, to my understanding, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and I stand to be corrected. But in countries that observe Codex, you cannot buy a vitamin C pill that's greater than 60 milligrams of vitamin C. You cannot buy things like melatonin or DHEA. So the people who criticize Codex say, sure, it's great to have standards, but don't be oppressive and remove people's rights from buying things that are naturally found in foods.
Yeah, well, I'm not familiar with that. It's not allowed to have a pill on the market with a specific amount of vitamin C, for example. But I can imagine that if you follow too strictly these recommendations, but that's, I think, the main thing. These are recommendations for these different, in this case, for nutrition and health claims and how you want the scientific evidence to be before you authorize a claim that you say, okay, this is really found in science and as we know by now. But yeah, you see that maybe some countries are very easy in saying, well, we just follow Codex where we don't think it through what it would mean for our population itself or our country. But you see other countries that are other jurisdictions that do pick out the things that they feel are important from these Codex standards to try and harmonize at least a bit of their legislation towards these international legislation.
Okay. So when did you publish this paper?
This paper was published this month, actually, in the journal.
Have you gotten any responses from policymakers in various countries? Are you getting any comments from people in Europe or here in the United States that, oh, this is a novel idea, we should look at it? Or are they saying, oh, this, we can't do this, it's too much work?
Well, what we hear, I don't have specific reactions on this paper, but when we discuss these ideas with people not only working as policymakers, but these different stakeholders, everyone says, well, you have to keep in mind that there are some big cultural differences and in how people are seen as consumers, how people work with the industry. What you said, there's a difference in how legislation is drafted, even with these different stakeholders that are involved or not. So it is hard to think of fully harmonized, a worldwide harmonized piece of legislation, because, yeah, that's, at least in the upcoming years, it's not going to happen. It's just not possible to overcome all these difficulties.
Do you understand, I as a scientist, when you look at this sort of stuff, when you these types of things, do you look at the United States and go, wow, that's going to be really a big problem because they have so much corporate and industry influence on the types of health and nutritional claims that are made, that, you know, because a lot of big manufacturers go out and get a paper, a scientific paper written to show anything that they want. We know this. And so people don't even trust the claims anymore. Anybody with any common sense doesn't trust the claims anymore. Just because the FDA says something is safe and healthy, we don't trust them. We have to find out for ourselves, do the research ourselves. So when you look at the United States and in this whole group of countries that you're looking at, do you see them as just as or more difficult than the other countries to deal with on this?
Well, I think that's really hard from my perspective to say something about, because when you look into these legislative documents, you of course purely see what is written in law, and you see these procedures that are written down, and to see to understand what's going on beneath beforehand, before this regulation was even drafted, or what influences are there, that's really hard to see. That's already hard for me. I live in the Netherlands, and I cannot even fully comprehend what's going on when drafting Dutch legislation or European legislation.
Right.
So to say something about the United States situation, that's really hard for me, but I can imagine, and I think it's really a shame that people are not able to trust anymore like these types of claims, because in the end they could help with understanding what food does to your body and how you can maybe prevent becoming sick or at least prevent a deficiency or something like that. But if the system is corrupted, as you say, then it's harder for people to find that information and to believe that information and to use it for themselves. And I think that's a shame.
You see, the problem with the FDA is they have no brain trust. The FDA doesn't have... So in other words, if I manufacture a drug and I do clinical trials, I submit my science to the FDA and they look at it and go, like a peer review, they look at it and go, oh yeah, it looks good. So it's not like as though they're testing it. They're going, okay, we're going to duplicate this science. We're going to attempt to, because that's the true test of accuracy in science. If someone can duplicate your study, then that means, oh, it's probably correct. The FDA doesn't do that. They just rubber stamp it. So what you're saying about the trust level here in the United States of the FDA, it's not because we can't trust their science. They have no science. They just rubber stamp the science provided to them from the industries that they provide oversight to and say yes. And that gives it the gravity of validity when they haven't checked anything. They have been fooled so many times that, you know, every so often, a drug is recalled after like Vioxx comes to mind, which was being given for arthritis pain and stuff like that. And they estimated that 55,000 people died of heart attacks in the United States as a result of Vioxx. When the FDA recalled the drug and they went back to Merck, the FDA came out and said, oh, well, Merck didn't give us all the science. They lied to us. Well, how is that a company? How is that an organization that we're supposed to trust their opinion on what's good and healthy and safe if they could be fooled like that?
Yeah, that's really a shame, because in the end, if you do find a food ingredient or a food product that is beneficial for health and could help other people, then that trustworthiness is of course decreased in such a system, and that's really a shame. What we see in Europe, for example, for the nutrition health claim legislation, at least, is that we see that to substantiate a health claim, one randomized clinical trial is not sufficient. You need to have proof from at least two different RCTs, but these RCTs also have to be conducted by different institutes, which are independent from each other. So that's already one step to try and increase the credibility of such a claim.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine that something like that, if something like that is written down, it's already easier. And of course, I can imagine in an ideal situation, such a legislative body would check, would perform the research themselves.
Yeah, you know what? I agree, but I still feel like this is a big undertaking. What you are asking for here is would require complete altruism from all organizations providing oversight on nutrition around the world. And I wish you the best of luck. I mean that with all sincerity. But listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. This is an interesting discussion. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. We're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be looking at some research that was actually published a long time ago. And the scientists decided to go back and look at their data again. And lo and behold, they learned new things. And I don't know what I'm more impressed with, the new things that they learned or the fact that they were willing to go back and look at their research a second time. I don't know if this is novel, but it's the first time I've ever heard of it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
My nutritionist
proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, tropic fruit and raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SuperhumanRadio to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support, to weight management, to nervous system support, to detox and cleansing, and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training, won't disrupt endocrine function, and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We talk about protein a lot on this show, don't we? Yes, we do. But protein is king, baby. It builds muscle. It may even help you repartition and lose body fat. So, my next guest is Dr. Wayne Campbell. How are you doing, Dr. Campbell?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
And you recently published a paper, and before we get deep into that paper, I have never had a scientist on this show. I've been doing this for 10 years. I've never had a scientist on this show that went back and looked at research that they did 7 or 8 years ago and tried to extrapolate something different out of it. And I have to applaud you just for that, I have to tell you, because I think that that shows an openness, an objectiveness, you know what I mean? A willingness to search for more information than to say, look, we did that study and that's it, that's final. You know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's something that my lab actually does every time that the opportunity presents itself and we think that we can answer us. This is a good way to be able to look at issues from different perspectives without having to have the bear the cost of doing a new study.
Absolutely. So now, so let's talk about the study that was done 7, 8 years ago first, so we can kind of set the stage for what you did here. Talk about that study real quick. What questions were you trying to answer, and what did you learn?
It was a study designed to see how much, if the amount of whey protein supplements that middle-aged, overweight people consumed while they were starting a new exercise program, if the whey protein would influence their changes in body composition, their changes in muscle strength, and their changes in clinical indices of health, whether or not it be a glucose control, your lipids, your blood pressures. And it was a 9-month supplementation trial, which is for these types of studies is a pretty long time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We did that with we started off with about 300 people, and close to 200 people finished the study, and we hypothesized that higher amounts of protein with the whey supplements would be beneficial in helping not only improve your body comp responses to the exercise, but also improving your health outcomes.
Yeah.
Much to our surprise and contrary to our hypotheses, we observed that there was no influence of taking the supplements on these people's health. So we published that work a couple of years ago, but we became very interested in not only knowing what is the effect of taking a supplement, which many people do. They'll say, oh, I'm going to start taking this supplement with my regular diet and try to get more protein that way, but how much total protein do people eat? And one of the things that was really, we did very well in our study originally was that we actually documented how much, what they eat, not only with the supplements, but in their regular diet. So we went back with this current study and said, well, let's not worry about the supplementation, let's worry about the total amounts of protein in their diet. So we did that, and what we have found is that specifically for body composition, the folks that were eating more protein in their diet actually had better responses to changes in their body composition over the 9 months of exercise than those that were eating less protein in their diet.
So does that tell us that there is a threshold of protein? For instance, what I mean by that is, so you take the person that was a non-responder from the first study, they added two scoops of protein. Let's assume it's 25 grams a scoop. They added 50 grams of protein to their diet. But previously, they were only getting 25, 35 grams of protein, maybe 45 grams of protein a day in there. So they had this net protein threshold that they were reaching, and it was not effective. Is that show a threshold, or does it show a threshold based on body size or a gram per pound of body weight?
That's an interesting way of looking at it, especially with this whole notion of a threshold. And let me describe why. There's some new research looking at the influences of how much protein you eat in a meal, not on a daily basis, but within a meal, and the ability of your body to increase or maximize the synthesis of proteins in your muscles. And now this has been done many times before,
right.
with young athletes,
right.
Especially. But it's been done less so with middle-aged folks, older folks, not people that are necessarily using exercise for fitness, but using it for health.
Right.
But overall, the effects are, at least in young people, that if you're getting somewhere on the order of about maybe 25 grams of protein in a meal, you're going to maximize your synthesis of proteins. If for an older person, it may be a little bit higher. It might be upwards of 30 to 35 grams of protein in a meal to maximize out the synthesis of proteins. That information is often used to say, well, geez, we're going to, if you do that regularly, you're automatically going to have a positive change in your body comp, in your muscles. But there's a lot less science to actually show whether or not that really occurs.
Right.
And so one of the things that we really set out with our study was to say, well, we're going to give people these doses of protein in a supplement on a daily basis, but we're going to not worry about muscle protein synthesis, what happens right after they eat it, but does it really translate into changes in your body composition, in your muscle, in the amount of fat you have, and the quality of your muscles? And we showed that the supplements themselves did not have an influence.
Because because the protein synthetic response is cumulative. So there's a net effect. If you have two meals that are high leucine meals and they trigger that cascade, but then the rest of the day you're in some sort of catabolic or negative effect on protein synthesis. There's not going to be any. It's like if you have a bicycle but you only want to pedal with one stroke of the left leg, you're not going very far.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because if what you described, if you were chronically always in an anabolic state because of your diet, your high protein diet, if that was really happening, there would be many, many, many people out there that would be walking around like blobs of protein. Your body is not geared to actually have that happen chronically.
Right.
You're not genetically programmed to just become blobs of protein.
Yeah, there's negative regulators like myostatin and things that inhibit this process as well as things that promote the process.
Well, no, exactly, and that doesn't diminish the importance of protein for bodybuilding. It doesn't influence or negate the potential benefits of why you want muscle protein synthesis to be high on an occasion. But it doesn't mean that if you are always purposefully trying to maximize synthesis throughout 24 hours, 24/7. That's necessarily going to result in super muscles for people that are not necessarily have that as an ultimate goal, because your goal is fitness. It's not health, not necessarily to be a world class bodybuilder.
Right, right. So,
and that's unique because you have to keep in mind that our research really focused on overweight and obese, metabolically and health at risk people, who were not the athlete.
Gotcha. Okay. So the two scoops didn't do anything, but when you looked at their entire protein intake for the day,
right?
That's when you started to go, oh, wait a minute, these individuals or their outcome is different, right?
Yeah. Let's just start with their body weight. When people ate more protein regularly throughout the 9-month period of time, and by more, let me define more first, because that's helpful to a lot of your listeners. keep in mind, we're not talking bodybuilders or strength-trained athletes. We're talking about regular folks.
Yeah, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger referred to them in Pumping Iron as regular people.
There you go. Yeah. So the average protein intake for a middle-aged person, male, female, is probably somewhere on the order of about 1.1 to 1.2 grams of protein per kilogram body weight per day. What we did is, that's higher than the current recommended dietary allowance of 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram per day.
Right.
What we showed just as a regression, just as a, you know, taking everybody's data and plotting it and seeing if what showed up is that the more protein that these people had, the less likely they were to gain body weight. And the more likely they were to have a better body composition. And the better body composition was because they were losing body fat. And that's really helpful. Then we said, okay, well, let's put some thresholds to this. The thresholds that we used was 1 gram of protein per kilogram body weight. So that's 25% higher than the RDA.
Right.
And 1.2 grams per kilogram body weight, which is, for most middle-aged and older people, is about the 75th percentile of what people eat. So probably about 25% of people in the in the United States in that age category eat more than 1.2. So it's sort of a higher amount that the typical person would eat.
Right.
And what we found was that if you're eating less than 1 gram per kilo of protein, that when you ate these supplements, and the supplements had about 400 calories a day in them,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't try to change their regular diets, we just said, look, hey, we're going to feed you things that have 400 calories. We expect that your body is going to adjust itself so that you compensate for those calories by changing what you eat otherwise. The people that were eating the lower protein diets, they did not compensate as well, and over time they progressively gained a weight.
Wow.
If you were eating 1 gram or more, the compensation was better, and they actually, even though they adjusted their diet, even though we weren't, there was no dietitians, there was no nothing, there was no help for them to do this. They just, their internal signals helped them adjust their diet so that they kept their weight stable. And the exercise then allowed them to also lose body fat and gain lean tissue.
This is exciting. And there's, and people who have more body fat on them, we talked about this yesterday on the show, they have an advantage that they can leverage because the fat can be used as a substrate, a fuel, if you will. And so they generally can get away with even a little bit less protein. I'll explain myself on the other side. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Wayne Campbell. Stay tuned.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Wayne Campbell. We're talking about the amount of protein that helps people lose body fat and even increase muscle when they are overweight and they are exercising as well. And obviously the exercise we'll talk more about later that we're given. So what I was saying when I was going into the break is I know that the leaner you get, the amount of protein has to increase to get this similar response, you know, to keep muscle growing and keep body fat diminishing. Especially we see this in bodybuilders and extreme athletes like that. The person who has a bit more body fat on them, they tend to get a little leverage effect from that body fat and needing slightly less protein to get similar effects. Am I right on that?
I'm not exactly clear on what you mean by leveraging.
The body fat seems to be sparing of muscle. Having some body fat, more body fat seems to be sparing of muscle. So you tend to get greater muscle maintenance and or gains with lower protein intake.
Yeah, what happens is as you gain weight, as somebody who's going from perhaps in their mid-20s into their mid-50s, on average people are gaining, you know, maybe somewhere between a half and a pound a year. So, When you were 170 pounds in college, you're now 195 pounds as a middle-aged adult.
Mm-hmm.
Without exercise, about two-thirds of that weight is fat and about a third of it is lean tissue. Most of it is muscle to help support the added weight that you're having to carry around. What our studies suggested, at least in the shorter term, is that by having a moderately higher amount of protein in your diet, you can offset or help fight against that weight gain. And one of the keys to what we were talking about is that everybody in our study was asked to eat 400 extra calories a day, and then they had their bodies had to help them know what to do with those calories. And when you think about the diet environment that most people in the United States go through every day, that's exactly it. We're always challenged with excess availability or of food. And so I think our study is very, sort of real world in that sense.
Yeah.
That, it's not like people are having, always getting the amount of food that they need. They're always exposed to offered more than they need, and their body has to adjust to it. What our study suggests is that the ability to adjust to it by changing what your diet habits were the rest of the day and over time was better if you had a little bit more protein in your diet. We're not talking about extreme amounts of protein, though.
What do you consider extreme amounts of protein?
Well, for a non-athlete,
yes,
a middle-aged person, if you look at survey data from dietary surveys, national dietary surveys, that the more than about 1.4 grams of protein per kilo day, you probably have exceeded the usual intakes of most adults. And so I know that bodybuilders, the American College of Sports Medicine guidelines would encourage 1.4 to 1.6 or 1.7 grams, and many athletes are taking more than that.
Yeah.
But it's very rare that a middle-aged person is consuming more than about 1.2 to 1.4 grams per kilo. And it gets even less as people get older and move into mature adulthood and into becoming an older adult.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's a shame, too, because they suffer from osteopenia, which they probably benefit from more protein. But it seems like the desire for protein diminishes as you get older. I don't know if it's digestibility or what.
Well, actually, that may occur, and certainly the your body's handling of the amino acids that are absorbed into your blood after you've consumed a protein meal may go down as you get older, but most of the change in protein intake is because people just don't need the calories. That because of an age-associated reduction in the amount of muscle that you have,
mm-hmm.
And the onset of sarcopenia, your body just doesn't need to eat as many calories. So, even if people don't change what they eat, and people tend not to. I mean, we're really good creatures of habit of what we like to eat and what we've eaten throughout our whole lives. You just eat less of it, and that's going to mean that you have less quantity of protein. So one of the things that older adults, and this applies to people that are losing or purposely trying to lose weight, is that if you're going to reduce the number of calories that you're eating, to make sure that you maintain the number of calories that you're eating or even increase the number of calories that you're getting from protein.
Right.
If you're going to cut back on your total calorie intake, cut back on the carbs and cut back on the saturated fats.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I correct myself. I said osteopenia before and I meant sarcopenia. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the metabolic markers you looked at, and was there anything that looked better in the higher protein group? We're talking right now with Dr. Wayne Campbell. We're talking about protein again, folks. Can't talk enough about protein. Getting enough of it is critical. And then we'll even talk a little bit about the athlete in this discussion as well. Stay tuned.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm.
Vitalform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I'm a business owner. I'm in a high-stress situation. I'm also a CrossFit athlete. I'm constantly active. I need something that protects me for 24 hours and beyond. I've tried every natural deodorant out there. There is nothing that compares to this deodorant.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Wayne Campbell about protein intake, body composition. So just to kind of summarize, it sounds like the 1.2 grams of protein per kilogram was kind of the sweet spot with the beneficial effects on body composition, right?
Actually, anything above 1 gram per kilo,
okay,
was fine. It's really a matter of staying moderately above sort of what the lower recommendations of the recommended dietary allowances are.
Now, you also, since these are middle-aged individuals, you also looked at metabolic indexes as well. Did you notice anything even remotely mildly better when you started accounting for total protein as opposed to just two scoops away?
We measured a variety of health outcomes that people would typically go to their doctor to get checked. We measured their glucose, blood glucose levels. We measured their blood pressures. We measured, we actually did a test called an oral glucose tolerance test. Which is often used for diabetes. We also measured their lipids, especially their total cholesterol, their high-density lipoprotein cholesterol, or HDLs. Contrary to what we expected, there were no, the amount of protein that people were eating did not influence those, with the usual exception that if you're eating a diet that has more protein and less carbohydrates, typically your triglycerides will go down a little bit.
That's what I was going to say. Were there any outliers, and did you look at carbohydrate consumption? So that kind of answered that question.
We looked at it. We corrected, you know, when we were doing our analyses and we were working with the mathematics professionals that do the statistics for us, we did account for any differences or the amounts of carbohydrate and fat in the diet so we could hone in specifically on the protein. And when we did that, then the protein did not have an influence on these health indices. I emphasize, though, that this is not an indication that it's not the, you know, that the higher protein is not a good way to replace carbohydrates in
right.
in your diet. The way I interpreted it, though, is that even though you have improvements in your body composition, that does not automatically lead to profound improvements in these health indices of your risk for diabetes and cardiovascular disease, keeping in mind that our people were not losing weight. And these were people that were a risk for the diseases. They were overweight and obese, but we were not really purposefully changing body weight. In other research that my group and many others have done, you can have a much more profound impact on these health outcome risks of disease by moderately reducing your body weight.
Okay, so you said this, they did not reduce body weight, but on this show we talk a lot about, you know, BMI and it being flawed because it doesn't take into account lean body mass. These people saw a repartitioning of sorts. They saw lowered body fat and increase in muscle mass, correct?
Everybody gained lean muscle. Didn't matter how much protein they were eating, which is expected because they were exercising. And they were not eating a deficient amount of protein. They were just eating varied amounts within what middle-aged people typically consume. The real impact of higher protein was that it helped the people maintain their body weight because of a reduction in body fatness. And in the longer term, we certainly think that that's a real great benefit to work toward.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about athletes for a second, because they're a different
mm-hmm.
group.
Sure.
I mean, I consume 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. I train very, very hard. I'm 57 mm-hmm. years old. I have maintained muscle. I've maintained strength other than some injuries that have made me work around certain things right now. But overall, if I wanted to start adding muscle, I could do it, but my life gets in the way right now. But if I was able to train and eat the amount of food that I need to eat, I could easily put on 8-10 pounds of muscle in the next, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 months, which shows that I still have an ability to get that done. So when we look at athletes, the 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight seems to be kind of the rule of thumb. Do you agree with that, or do you think that that's not even necessary? You could go less than that.
I'm hesitating because I want to make sure that we're the distinction between the amounts of protein I was describing on a per kilogram of body weight basis,
right,
for your listeners, versus the per pound of body weight.
Okay.
We're in
let's use kilograms. So that would be 2.2 grams of protein per kilogram.
Right.
Yeah.
So with that example, which is a perfectly reasonable example, that amount of protein is consistent with how much that you are maximizing on any given, presuming that you're eating a good portion of that, probably on the order of about 50 or 60 grams of it on any given meal.
Yes.
Or eating occasion, that you have done everything that you can from a dietary protein perspective to maximize the rates of synthesis of proteins in your muscles to support the exercise program that you're doing. The things that would compromise that are probably not related to protein per se. They could be related more to the amount of downtime that you have to make sure that your bodies can fully recover, and as well as the total number of calories so that you're keeping your weight up.
Right.
In that case, then it sounds perfectly reasonable. Is that amount really an optimal amount from a muscle protein synthesis perspective? It's moderately above what we would think would be the amounts that would maximally synthesize protein, but there's no reason why there's no indication that I know of that it's going to be harmful from a muscle standpoint at all.
The number that I've heard that is supposed to be the clinically assessed by lots of research and various peer-reviewed studies comes up with a 1.8 grams of protein per kilogram. It seems to be the sweet spot. That's the lowest effective dose to produce the greatest protein synthesis without having to eat more protein than you really need to. Because let's face it, there's scales of economy here, you know, cost and food and
sure.
chewing and everything. So is that the number you're thinking about, the 1.8 per kilogram?
That's a commonly used number. It is certainly a number that many studies have shown is optimal, if you will, for muscle protein synthesis. Then you have to keep in mind, though, that it's not only the synthesis rates that are determining your ultimate changes in lean muscle that you're striving for, but you're also trying to you have to factor in the breakdown rates
yes.
of protein. And there's a lot less information on that. The old studies that came up with the values of 1.6, 1.7 grams per kilo for strength athletes using the nitrogen balance technique really are very consistent with these newer fancier ways of measuring muscle protein synthesis, and your numbers are fine. If synthesis was everything and you were always maximizing your synthesis rates, we still have to know more information about your breakdown rates.
Yeah.
And it would, most research suggests that your breakdown rates will parallel, changes in breakdown rates will parallel the changes in synthesis in a fasting state, but the synthesis outdoes the breakdown in a fed state.
So and hence why I eat every 3 hours and I don't skimp on. I mean, today I'll eat two pounds of yams today.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't skimp on calories either. I mean, I'm not just looking at protein and going, oh, all I need is my protein. And as far as rest goes, I sleep an average of 8 hours a night. I do take off days as planned. But also, I should say, and I'm saying this because it's unfair of me not to say it, but at 57 years old, I've been on hormone replacement therapy since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my testosterone levels are very high compared to age-matched men of my own age who are not on HRT. And I also have a prescription for some peptides that I use that should speed recovery. So I'm not the average guy out there, but what I am is the average emerging baby boomer who's looking for answers. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
For the best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay, sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now. You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink NutriCafe. NutriCafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. NutriCafe tastes amazing because it's low acid, and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the NutriCafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one NutriCafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Wayne Campbell. We're talking about protein in general right now. We've kind of moved off of the middle-aged obese individual or overweight individual, and now we're just talking about protein actually in older adults like myself. I'm 57 years old. I don't want to lose muscle. I want to maintain strength for as long as I possibly can and muscle mass. And so proteins are very, very important or staple in my diet. So Dr. Campbell, you did a study back in 2013, age attenuates leucine oxidation after eccentric exercise. And you looked at the response to exercise and the oxidation of protein in older adults, right?
Yes.
What did you discover in that one? I mean, is this why some of us older guys don't build muscle as well? Because it's being oxidized and used for energy? Am I understanding that right?
As your body ages, your body has an innate capacity to still do a couple of really important things, things that don't go away. Build muscle by increasing muscle protein synthesis and responding to stress. However, and that responding to stress is really important because often one of the most common stresses that people experience as they're getting older are physical stresses that may seem benign when you're young, but when you're older they become a lot harder and longer for your body to recover from. Whether or not it's just going out and raking your yard in the spring, or whether or not it's going out for a long run, or whether or not it's lifting things that are heavy that you're not accustomed to lifting, the muscle stress is different when you're young versus old.
Mm-hmm.
In our study, we were specifically interested in the impact of the eccentric muscle contraction. So the forced lengthening of a muscle that you experience every time you strength train, and you're lowering a weight, and holding and resisting that lowering.
The negative. We call that the negative,
right? The negative. Yeah. Exactly. And so we were really specifically focused on a negative, heavy, strength exercise workout in young men versus older men. And what we found is that as you mentioned, that the stress on the muscle of the older person, even though they were working out at relatively the same intensity, was actually greater than it was for the young person. One of the reasons why that may be is actually shown in another study that we did where we compared the impact of strength exercise and eccentric exercise in young and old adults on the genomic profile of their skeletal muscle, the transcripts that code for the proteins that are built in your muscle. And what we found is that as we get older, you basically walk around with your body, your muscles, in a constant state of stress, higher than when you're young. And that can be because of inflammation, it can be because of oxidative damage, there's a number of reasons that can contribute to that. But the reality is that when your body is then stressed with exercise or with some other physical challenge, when you're older, your body doesn't respond the same way as it when it was young because it's already chronically working harder.
Yeah, there's no baseline recovery. It's like you're going from hard work to really, really hard work, and there's nothing.
Exactly. And on top of that, because your body only has a certain capacity to increase the synthesis and the activity of the proteins that help keep your body in a normal, healthy state. And what we found is that these transcripts, the genes in your muscles, in a young person, when you're stressed, the genes that help you recover and respond to that stress, they activate, they go up. But in the older people, they didn't go up. But they didn't go up because they were already as high as they were ultimately in the young people after the stress.
Good, I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish.
Yeah. No, so what you described there is it's not that the body doesn't have the capacity as you get older to respond to exercise, to use nutrition as a tool to help in the exercise response, whether or not it's for weight control, whether or not it's for muscle and bodybuilding. But you have to be mindful that there's less of a reserve capacity of the muscle to respond in a positive way, because for most people, their bodies are already sort of have been forced to program themselves to be responding to chronic stress.
Do you put any stock in rat model studies?
They can provide some very helpful information. Ultimately, they do not replace human studies.
I interviewed Dr. Irina Conboy in June of 2014, and they did a rat model study giving old rats oxytocin and then causing extreme stress to the muscles by, you know, how they load one leg or something like that. She explained how they did it. And the rats that got the oxytocin, their muscles responded and recovered exactly the same way as the young rats did. It was a very, very intriguing study. It's the only one that's been done like that. But it was very, very interesting that oxytocin actually reversed this condition that you're discussing right now. I wonder if oxytocin works on a genetic, on a genomic platform. You know what I mean? It's affecting it genomically.
You know, I'm not familiar with that particular research, but what you're describing, it actually has a very practical application to everyday life for overweight people and older people. And that is that many older people are also overweight, and there's a real nice body of literature that support that eating more protein in your diets on the order of somewhere above 1.2 grams per kilo on a daily basis helps preserve lean tissue and muscle while you're losing weight. And when you think about what a stress to the muscle, you don't usually think about just weight loss as a stress to a muscle. But in essence, it is inducing a catabolism or a loss of muscle, because you're no longer having to carry around as much weight as your body weight goes down.
Interesting.
And higher protein diets are consistently, a lot of research supports that you are better able to preserve that lean tissue, which includes muscle, as you're purposefully losing weight. And that this is not diminished as you get older, that the same effect occurs both in young adults as well as in older and postmenopausal women and older men, that the benefit of the higher protein intake on the order of somewhere 1.2 to 1.4, even 1.6 grams per kilo of body weight is retained and is helpful in keeping your lean tissue, which helps retain your energy expenditure and your energy needs, which then helps you naturally eat more protein because you have a higher calorie intake.
Yeah, the days I don't train, I don't feel like eating. But the days I train, it's so easy for me to eat every one of my meals. It's so funny.
The influence of exercise and training on appetite is just fascinating. People make a lot of money and do a lot of marketing to try to influence somebody's appetite. Ultimately, though, it's actually what you put in your mouth and chew and swallow, not necessarily how you're feeling before you do it.
Right. No, I agree. I agree 100%. Listen, it's been great having you on the show. I really want to thank you for making your time. We've covered a lot of great information, and I think the audience is probably going to come away with some new insights into protein. Thanks for being on the show.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. And I also have to thank Dr. Jeff Galini for the first half hour with the Science for Humans. Ali DeBoer for talking about the possibility of harmonizing an international legislature to govern health and nutrition claims. I don't think that'll ever happen, but God bless her for trying. And don't forget, if you want one of the free 48 bottles of Vita Drive, go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad at the bottom right-hand side. If you missed out last time they gave it to you, we gave it away, try it again. They always send you some sort of a gift, no matter what. Just ask Dr. Jeff for a free bottle of Vita Drive and check it out. Today is Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday, which means Physical Culture Radio with Brooks Kubik. So please tune in then, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Thanks for listening today.
Superhuman Radio has the smart